cater to your heart. Do you? And you know, you might not have a date. Or even a year.
But let me ask you this. Do you know that Jesus is in your heart today? You know, that's really far more important than just having a history date. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? But what's he doing in your life? Huh? We're going to be looking into a book. Interesting book itself. Because last Wednesday, every synagogue around the world pulled out the scroll of this book and began reading it through. All 10 chapters. Think of that for scripture reading time, huh? And in that book, in that scroll, which is indeed the Word of God, it's in the Old Testament, it doesn't mention God once. In fact, out of all the 66 books in the Bible, it's the only book in the Bible that doesn't mention God. Think of that. And you begin to wonder, well, if that's the case, Bill, why is it in the Bible? If it doesn't even mention God. And that's a good question. So all the other books mention God and all the various names that God revealed himself to us. But as we look at the Word of God, we also begin to see a pattern. A pattern of God's working. A pattern of God's faithfulness. A pattern of how God uses some of the most ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We see a pattern of his grace and his faithfulness to his covenant. His covenants. We see also in the Word of God that hidden hand of God's sovereign grace. That hidden hand of God that's working in the lives of his people then and today. We see that hidden sovereign hand of God also working in the nations of this world then and today too. That's one of the reasons it's in the book. That's one of the reasons it's part of the Bible. Because though God's name is not mentioned, we still see the sovereign hand of Almighty God. Would you open the book? The book of Esther. The book of Esther. As we take a look, now we won't be going through all 10 chapters verse by verse, but we will progress. But this is a biographical series that we're looking at different people in God's Word. We looked at Adam and Eve. We looked at both of them. We looked at Abraham and Sarah. And we looked at some men individually. Here we look at a woman individually. Her name is Esther. Name that means star. It's a Persian name that was ascribed to her. Hadassah was her Hebrew name, which means myrtle, or the myrtle tree. It gave that wonderful fragrance. A book written 2,500 years ago. A book that has not even once the name of God. A book about the history of the Jews. How can it help us today? Can it? Can it convey a message to us that will impact our lives with how you and I live in a world that is so adverse to the gospel? In a world that you and I bump into every day of our lives, and that we walk in, and that we speak in every day of our lives? Can this book convey some transformational message to your life and my life? Like Esther? I believe it can. I really believe it can if we open our hearts to the effective working of the Word of God. So let's do that right now. Okay, let's just pray right now. Lord, open our hearts. And Lord, we want to receive and hear your Word, that it will effectively work in our lives. That like an Esther, like a Mordecai, Lord, these who you use for your glory, for your people and as a witness of your glory to others, even without a word spoken of your name, but in how they live. Lord, may that transforming grace have its work in our lives as well. But Lord, help us. Help us to speak your name. In ways and in places and to people, we've never spoken your name before. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Esther, take out your outline before you, if you will. Though the name of God, as you see in the overview, though the name of God is not encountered throughout the entire book, but the hidden sovereign will of God is seen throughout, orchestrating events to protect and to preserve his covenant people, Israel, from extinction. There was a plan of genocide, and that is evident in this book, to wipe out all the Jews throughout the known empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, all the exiles, which also included those who were in captivity and released under the decree of Cyrus the Persian king. To wipe them all out. If you will, we continue on. This is true of two undeniable and unshakable reasons. First of all, God's covenant with Israel began with Abraham and the Christ, the promised seed and Savior who had come through Israel, specifically the line of David. Try as they may, try as Satan may, he nor his cohorts, demons and those who followed him, could never, never wipe out God's people then. Because God had a plan. He had a covenant. He had a promise. He had a gift to give through Israel, through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the lineage of David. And that one that he gave, the seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ. So God had a plan that included you and I. Not just Israel, as the face of being totally exterminated. But they weren't. God preserved them. And his plan. And his promise. For every one of us here today. That's another reason why the book of Esther is so important. For believers in Jesus Christ, even Jewish believers in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, see that one beautiful truth, that what God has planned, he will work out in the nation.
Aren't you glad? Amen. Because part of his plan in your life, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you know that Jesus is in your heart, part of that plan is to transform your life into Christ's likeness. Part of that plan is to bring you into his presence in Christ Jesus. Part of that plan between now and then is to use you courageously like an Esther. Let's take a look, if you will. There are four main characters. Now, there are other people that are mentioned here, but poor main character, Esther, of course, was the book's named after her. No, because God was using her in a very special way. Esther and Mordecai, her cousin, adopted father. Her parents apparently had died when she was very young. And so her older cousin, he adopted her to give her that protection in that culture, in that society. He adopted her as a daughter. Ahasuerus, the Persian king, the Greek name for Ahasuerus was Xerxes. Then Haman, a high-ranking court official and chief antagonist in the story of intrigue, irony, and the sovereign hand of God. God says in his word there in Psalm 121, verse 4, "Behold, the youth of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." God was not slumbering. Made in captivity and dispersed throughout the land. Maybe there were many Jews who were asleep. And I think some of the commentators say, you know, that they also, why the name of God is not in this book, might also be reflective of the coldness, if you will, or the distance that many of the Jews at that time had from God. They didn't have the temple available to them. They didn't have the sacrifice available to them.
sometimes we don't have those things, where would we be? They may happen. Well, let's move on. God never slumbers nor sleeps concerning his people. Esther, chosen from among many. Chapters 1 and 3. We won't go through reading all three chapters. But for such a time as this, for such a time as this, Esther was chosen among many. Now the story is, Ahasuerus, the king, of course, he was really proud of all that he had acquired by way of an expanding kingdom. In fact, his kingdom went from India to the North Africa area of Ethiopia. That's a long, long way. That's a large empire. And he defeated the Babylonians, who had previously defeated the Assyrians, who had previously defeated the... But in the whole world, if you were defeated nations and empires, here you have the Medo-Persian Empire, and here a heathen king, Cyrus the Persian king. Before we get here to Esther, he wrote an edict releasing all the Jews from captivity and slavery to be released and go back. Now only a few are back, not a whole lot. Many were so well ingrained into the culture where they were exiled to that it became a part of their life, part of their language. It also displaced a lot of their conviction and commitment to the Lord God Jehovah. But God was still in charge. And so God was using. So what happened here was Ahasuerus, the king of this empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, was so proud. He wanted everybody to see what he had gained. You know, his big palaces and everything else. And so he threw a feast. Now listen to this. It says in God's word, Esther, it says that King Ahasuerus, he threw a feast, a banquet, for 3 months. Oh, can you imagine that? Yeah, but the reason he would do it for 3 months, of course, he was calling on all the leaders of all the various provinces to come and see how great he was and how rich he was at their expense. And so for 3 months, he would be calling them and they were exchanged. And it was like a rotating group at the table. Every day, every week, every month. 3 months. When it was finished, of course, then they had another one for 7 days. For all of the local ones right there in the immediate palace area. And so drink was flowing. And of course, he thought, well, this is a great time to show off my wife, the queen, Vashti. And so he sent for Vashti to come and appear and basically to display herself with the crown and all her robes and whatnot. And you see, he had all this wealth. He had all these buildings. But also to show his people that he also had that beautiful wife. Very proud. What is it? Vashti knew, she said, no, I'm not going. I'm not going. I'm not going to be used for you to buttress your pride. Well, of course, the drunken king gets angry. What am I going to do? So the counselors, they were all vying for more and more power and more, if you will, more of the ear of the king. So they thought this was a great opportunity too. And maybe Vashti had, in some way, had done some things maybe against them. We don't know. But what they said, well, why don't you dethrone Vashti? And then this is what you're going to do. You're going to have a Miss Persia contest. Miss Persia contest. Yeah, did you ever hear that? No, we have it here in the United States, right? Miss Universe contest, Miss America contest. And you're going to take the prettiest women of this contest and bring them into the palace. Okay, and then you're going to choose one of these beautiful women. And you're going to choose one. Think of this. From India, in Ethiopia, from all over the kingdom, bringing young maidens. What they thought were beautiful young maidens. Out of all that, only one was chosen. Her name was given to her, Esther. Let's take a look, if you will. Your outline of God's Word. Esther was chosen among many, chapters 1 through 3. Vashti disobeys and she is deposed of her crown. She was disposed also, but the virtue of being deposed of her crown, okay? Esther is chosen king. Take a look at Esther chapter 2, verse 17. You have it in your outline before you. The king loved Esther more than all the women, and she won grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. But in the midst of all this, there was a plot. There was a plot to kill this king, Ahasuerus. You know, house and prince, they went on all the time. Wherever there's king, wherever there's palace, wherever there's servants, wherever there's people who want more power. We see it here in the United States too, don't we? We don't have a king, but we have a president. We see how people want to get his ear and want not to give him counsel. Same thing happened throughout the generations and centuries. And so there was a number of officials that wanted to assassinate him. It was a plot. Mordecai, a cousin to Esther, was out there in the, just outside the palace. He didn't have the privilege to go into the palace, but he heard of the plot. And so he passed word on and sent a message to Esther and said, there's a plot. There's a plot by certain officials to kill the king. Esther passed that word on, and the plot was foiled. This came to the knowledge of Mordecai there in your outline. This came to the knowledge of Mordecai, and he told it to Queen Esther, and Esther told the king in the name of Mordecai. The assassins were caught, they were hanged, they were executed. And then this was recorded in a king's chronicle. Things that would happen, good or bad, they would be chronicled in the king's recorded book. And just to remind you, one thing, remind him of how great he is. Okay. I also to remind him of the current affairs that are going on around about him. And so that was recorded. But nothing else was done. Again, God's plan. Part of God's plan. Let's go on, if you will. Haman, because at that time, Haman was also elevated to a place. He was already an official, but he was given a higher position as an official. And probably something comparable to a prime minister. Maybe possibly second to the king. Haman really thought a lot of himself. Maybe even more than Ahasuerus thought of him. Of himself. And Haman, of course, he was given great privilege by the king, as it says there in the book of Esther. And so he would ride his horse out of the palace area, the palace court area, and he invited everybody to praise him and bow down. Everybody did. Well, because he's the prime minister. He's an important dude. And so we want to be on the right side of him. But one man did. But who was that one man who did? Mordecai, the Jew. Esther's cousin. Now Esther did not make it known to the king or to anybody in the palace that she was a Jewess. She did not make it known that Mordecai was her cousin. Mordecai would not bow down. And this would happen repeatedly. Everybody would bow. Haman would look around. There's one dude standing up named Mordecai. When he found out that Mordecai was a Jew, he didn't want to just kill Mordecai himself for this perceived affront, if you will, to himself. He wanted to wipe all the Jews out. Complete genocide. He made it known to the king, and he said, I'll put 100,000 silver pieces in your treasury. This is my plan. Because there's a people in your empire, scattered throughout your empire in all the provinces, that don't live by your law, but live by another law. That don't seem to want to obey you, but obey their God. I think we should just wipe them out and give everybody an example of what happens when people do that. Well, Ahasuerus thought, well, I can get all this silver And I don't want people who don't appreciate me. I don't want people who don't know how great I am. I don't want people who obey some other law that is the law of the Medes and Persians that you can never change. Okay, go ahead and do it. Well, Haman, of course, he had this plot. And what he did, he tried to determine what would be the best time. Now, there had to be a lot of time between this decision and this okay from Ahasuerus to king in order to get the word out across the entire empire. Think of it, from Ethiopia, northern Africa, all the way to, if you will, the western side of India. That's a long, long way. They didn't have cell phones. Okay, so they cast lots. And the word, the Persian word for lot is pur, P-U-R, pur. And they were casting lots to determine what would be the date to begin this genocide, this complete extermination of all the Jews. Cast their lot. They determined one date, a number of months away, that they would wipe out all the Jews throughout the kingdom. And so we have, if you will, Haman plots in chapter 3 to kill all the Jews, but Esther was chosen. Think of that. And all of that, Esther was chosen for a reason and for a time. I forgot the word. But let me tell you something. Just as much as Esther was chosen in this book, in the Bible, God's Word, you and I were chosen also. Take a look at your outline, and you'll see a number of verses there that affirm this truth, that you are also chosen. You know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you said before, yes, Jesus is in my heart right now. I might not know the date that he came into my life. I might not know the year, but I know him as my Lord and Savior, and he is in my heart right now. Take a look. We are also chosen for God's glory and purpose. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he, what? Chose us. He chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Chosen to be in Christ Jesus. Talking to a man just this past week, a couple days ago. We're talking about salvation. About how God works in a life. In his life. Here in my life. And you can do the same thing too. There is that teaching in God's Word that before you committed your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, before you prayed and asked the Lord to forgive your sins and to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior, God was already working in your life, preparing you. Maybe you went to Sunday school when you heard the gospel. Maybe you went to church and you heard a sermon, the gospel. Maybe you grew up in a Christian family and your mom and dad prayed for you. God heard that prayer. Maybe you had a saved grandmother or grandfather and they were praying for you. God was working. God was working. And that's what that verse in Ephesians is saying. Before you came to know Jesus Christ, you need to know that you were chosen by God. God was working in you, bringing you to the foot of the cross. But that's not the only choosing that God gives you. Take a look at the next verse where Jesus is speaking to his disciples then, and he's speaking to his disciples today. That's you and I, his disciples today. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. We're not only chosen for salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and that's our side, believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, amen? But we're also chosen for service. Yes, like an Esther, just like you and I. We are chosen to serve. Let's go on. Esther's courageous in the face of death. We see this in chapters 4 through 7. The plot was made known to Esther by Mordecai because he heard that an edict went out
with a seal of Ahasuerus, written by Haman, to announce to all those who hated Jews in all the provinces and all the cities and all the towns throughout the entire empire that on such a day they should rise up and kill all the Jews, men, women, and children, and take whatever plunder they could have. Total, complete extermination. Hitler tried that, didn't he? 6 million Jews, men, women, and children, that had been tried many, many times. In Russia, they tried that as well. Mind you, also, during Hitler's attempted genocide, and in Russia under Stalin, it wasn't only Jews, but it was also Christians. Christians that were also pushed into the gas chamber, shot, or killed in some other manner. But there were those, like an Esther, who would rise up in courage. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I believe in this world that we live in, there are forces that want to wipe out Christianity. I believe in this world there are forces that want to completely exterminate believers in Jesus Christ. But God chose you. God chose you. God like an Esther. Look, Esther was pressed to face death in chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. And of course, Mordecai, he passed the word on to Esther about this edict that all the Jews are going to be exterminated on such a date. And they said, please, present your request, your plea for your people, for our people before the king, so that they would be spared. Of course, take a look what Esther says. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law to be put to death, except the one whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come to the king these 30 days. She was saying, if I go before this king, though I am queen, unless I have permission to come into his place, his space, I will die. Mordecai received that word. He sent word back to Esther, his cousin, chosen by God. She says these words. Take a look at your outline. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise up for the Jews from another place. Mordecai believed in a faithful God. Mordecai believed that God was going to honor his covenant promises to Abraham and to the sets of generations and to David, that the Messiah was going to come and all nations would be blessed through God's race, through God's people, the Jews. He goes on to say, but you and your father's house will perish if you're silent, he's saying. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, that's the capital, and hold a fast on my behalf. And do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and the young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I what? If I perish, I perish. Yes, she was prompted by Mordecai, but nothing wrong with that. How many times have you been prompted by, say, a Christian or by the Word of God or by the Holy Spirit to stand for Jesus Christ? That does not diminish in any way her courage. Yet she was prompted, like you and I every day are prompted to stand for Jesus Christ. Through the Word, His Word that we read, His Spirit within us. Do you have that same courage? I believe God gave that courage to Esther. He chose her, and He gave her the courage to stand.
People were fasting and prayer. Fasting. That God's will would be done. You say, wait a second, Bill. There's no word praying there. Where do you get that? I find it interesting that the Jews today who read that book on the Feast of Purim happened last Wednesday. They all understand that they were praying and fasting. Because whenever you see fasting for a reason, for a purpose, it's a godly reason, a godly purpose, it is most always coming. Let me ask you something. Have you ever fasted in prayer for a godly purpose? Fasting and prayers also for the church today. Maybe you have a wayward son or daughter, or grandson or granddaughter. Maybe you have a situation in your future that you're not sure of. I encourage you to think about fasting and prayer. Maybe as we're praying for our missionaries and we hear that one is going through a very difficult time, I would encourage us as a church to fast in prayer for that family. As your plan and God's wise plan unfolded. You know, Esther was not only beautiful, obviously she was. You know, we don't have a picture of her here. But she was not only beautiful, she had brains. She really did. Because she had a plan. How is she going to bring her request to deliver God's for the deliverance of her people before King Ahasuerus? Well, her plan was to have two banquets. Not just one, but two. The first one, of course, when she went in there and the king, of course, he invited her to come in. She did not die. God had a plan. God chose Esther. She went in and she explained. He said, well, whatever you want, whatever you wish, whatever you request, I'll give you half of my kingdom. Now, that was generally a way that they were saying, I'll honor whatever request you have. I don't think he would have given half his kingdom to Esther. But he's saying, I'll be gracious to you. I'll be merciful to you. And she says, well, this. Would you and Haman come to a banquet that I'm going to prepare? King thinks, oh, okay. May I'm getting off on this really easy, really cheap. Okay. And so he found out where Haman was. Haman happened to be in the palace. So they sat down. And of course Haman went, oh wow, it's just me, the king and the queen? Man, have I ever arrived or what? And the king says, okay now, whatever your wishes, whatever your request is, I'll give you half my kingdom. And then Queen Esther says, would you come, both you and Haman, to the next banquet that I prepare? Of course, they're both thinking, well, it's a larger feast and everything else, but just the two of them. Of course, you can imagine what Haman feels now. So he quickly went home and said, to his wife and to the kitchen. Guess what? The queen invited me not just once but twice. And here I'm going to a banquet with the king and the queen. Have you read the book of Esther? If you haven't, I think you should. It's filled with irony. It really is. Okay? And, of course, he told his family of this privileged position that apparently he was now receiving, not just from the king, but also from the queen. And so the family says, you know, well, this is probably a great time to go ahead and wipe out Mordecai. Go ahead and build a gallows, 75-foot gallows. Now, how tall is that? What would you say, Steve? Is that about maybe 25, 30 feet? Okay, something twice as high as that plus, a gallows, to hang Mordecai. Because he really hated him. So Haman plans to hang Mordecai. His family, of course, who supported this. And then, of course, the next banquet. And he's all set for this. I'm sure he put the best duds on. Haman, that is. And the king, of course, with his royal robes. And they go into the room where the banquet is prepared by Esther. And the king again says, what is your wish and what is your request? She said, well, my wish is for my people. Because there's been an edict that has gone out. And there are people that want to kill my people, the Jews. And me along with them. Of course, the king didn't put two of them together, kind of slow guy. He approved the edict that went out by Haman. And so he asked the question, well, who did this? Of course, she was beautiful and brave. That guy over there. Can you imagine how Haman must have felt? Well, what am I going to do now? This is the last thing he wanted. Of course, as the story goes on, the king said, look, I can't change that edict. I can't change that decree. Because the law of the Medes and Persians, once it is an edict and it has the seal of the king, it's cut in stone and it doesn't change. But I will give you permission to use my seal and send another edict throughout the land with the fastest horses from my stable, right to the uttermost ends of the kingdom, to warn Jews to defend themselves. They knew the date because the first edict went out with the date included. So she had, has been used the Lord to get that out. Take a look, if you will, at the verses we have there. Chapter 6, verse 1. And on that night the king could not sleep, and he gave orders to bring the book of memorable deeds, the Chronicles, and they read before the king. And then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robes and the horse as you have said, and do so to Mordecai the Jew who sits at the king's gate. Leave out nothing you have ever mentioned. Oh, I got a little ahead of myself. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, thank you. Okay, everybody says, yeah. You dumb. So what happened in between those two banquets? Again, sovereignty of God. The king had insomnia. Have you ever had insomnia? Raise your hand. Do you know it could have been God waking you up to pray for your family? Do you know it could have been God waking you up to pray for your church family? Okay? There was a reason why God woke up Ahasuerus. He couldn't sleep. So what do you do? Well, for those of us who probably turn on the TV, right? What does he do? Get out the record book and read the records. Mordecai warned me of a plot to kill me. I'm alive, he goes to Mordecai. What have I done to Mordecai? And he read in the book, nothing was done for Mordecai. He asked his servants and they said, no, nothing was done. Just so happened that he said, well, who else is here in the palace? It's Haman is. And so, of course, he said, well, get Haman over here. I've got questions for this guy. And so he said, Haman, what would you do for a guy that you really want to give great honor to? And right away, Haman in his heart, because he's so self-centered and so selfish, he said, he's talking about me. I know he's talking about me. I know he's talking about me. And I'm going to tell him what I think he should do for me. You have him. Wear your crown, wear your robe, and sit on your royal seat. And have someone of prominence guide him through and shout out, bow before this man who saved the king, whose name is Mordecai. Oh, did you say Mordecai? Yes. And that's exactly what he had to do. He went home absolutely flustered down and told his wife and children, after he told them how great he was and how important he was and how much the queen and king just loved him. And he said, look what I've got to do for my enemy, Mordecai. I have to praise him. The man who wouldn't bow for me, I have to bow . Do you not see the hand of God in this? Amen. God is sovereign. God can turn things, just like that. God can wake you and I up at any time for His purpose, for His glory, like He did with the Hashemites. Well, the story continues. Haman told his wife, Zeresh, and all his friends everything that happened to him. Then his wise men and the wife Zeresh said to him, "If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of the Jewish people, you will not overcome him, but surely fall before him." Now, let's pick it up where I left you off before, okay? I know. It's a great story, and I'm really messing it up, I'm sorry, but you got to read it, okay? After she celebrates Purim, the reason it was Purim, because remember, they cast a lot, and what was the name of the lot? Pure, okay? For the date of the execution and total extinction of the Jews. And so, the date went out that Jews could protect themselves from all those who would kill them and wipe them out. And that day became the Feast of Purim. Last Wednesday, not only was the book of Esther read in the synagogues, proclaiming and seeing and realizing the sovereign hand of God who is faithful to His covenants and faithful to His people today, but they also celebrated that day on Wednesday, the Feast of Purim. Every year they are reminded. Every year they read the book of Esther, both in the synagogue and at home, because God is faithful. The same God who is faithful to His people then is faithful to His people today. Always. Even His name is faithful. And He faithfully raises up ordinary people. You don't have to be beautiful, and maybe you are as beautiful as Esther. I don't know. You don't have to be as smart as Esther. Maybe you're smarter than Esther. I don't know. But if God can use an Esther, He can use you. And He can use me. If God can use a Mordecai, He can use you. He can use me. Are you ready to say the same thing that Esther says? When you first hear what Mordecai says to you through God's word, for such a time as this, you are here. For such a time as this, you're here today. As His witness. Would you say like Esther? I will do what God wants me to do. If I perish, I perish. Now, beloved, that's courage. That's courage. But you and I know the hand behind the story. You and I know the wisdom of God behind all that plotting, intrigue, and treachery that God gave. And because of that, you and I know that God, behind the scenes of your life, behind the difficulties, the discouragements, the joys, and everything else that is part of your life and part of my life, behind all of that is the hand of God moving and working and transforming your life. So that you can say, for such a time as this, yes, Lord, I'm here. For such a time as this, no matter what, I will take a step. Because I know that you are in the midst of it. Would you say that today? Would you say that this week? You know, He doesn't want His people to be just like the world. But because of Jesus Christ, He wants us to be different. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy inexpressible and filled with glory, attaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Love, without a doubt, based on God's holy word, and His gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ, that is working in your life right now. you and I can say, we are here today for such a time as this. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for these gracious and men and women of just oftentimes ordinary backgrounds, and yet used by you for extraordinary things, for your glory and for your kingdom. Like an Esther, Father, we thank you for her example. And even though having prodded, as you prod all of us, to greater, to higher things, to purer life, to steady walks, Lord, we thank you for those proddings. We also thank you for the grace that you enable us to respond, to respond positively. Your leading, the prompting of your word, the prodding of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to see this week and every week that every one of us here today are here for such a time as this, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.